Hey everybody, welcome to Beyond the Norm. I am Norm Laviolette, or Laviolette, or Laviolette, depending on which branch of the family. So I say Laviolette because that's just how dirty Laviolette motorcycle rider there were Laviolettes. Yeah. But then my sister gets fancy, my older sister. She likes to say Laviolette. But I don't really care, Joey. You can call it whatever you want. Welcome to Beyond the Norm, where we talk about things all comedy and entertainment and business related and such. This is episode 9, I believe, right, Ari?
Yeah, sure is.
And I was thinking, we should stop saying in this portion of the podcast the episode, because I guarantee at some point, A, we're going to get it wrong, meaning me, there's no doubt. And then number two, there's going to be a point where we're not going to want to play these things in order of speaking, and so we're just kind of effing ourselves. So I think we should stop saying that.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad we could all table and make that agreement on what's going on.
You guys will never know when episode 10 is.
Yes. Because it'll be there, right? Yeah. I mean, it'll be like, I don't know. I mean, who? I don't know.
So, you can do it after the fact, too, just right before you release it.
Right, well, I think so.
When you listen to it, just say it yourself.
Because do you really give a shit? Like, you don't know if this is 9. Okay, hey, welcome to Beyond the Norm. This is episode 63.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
I feel like you'd only care if it was like 100, 1,000, the big milestone ones.
Yeah, because like any podcast that I pick up, I just pick up in the middle of it. It's rare that I go, oh, I like this podcast. I'm going to go all the way back to 1, unless it's like a serial type thing. Yeah. So talking about all things, typically start off in that, professionally is making me money, love, intellectual curiosity. Let's see, this week is pretty cool. We have a program going on in China on Friday. I am not going to be there. Yeah. So I've been working with our Chinese, Jay Wang, and a few other people, our Chinese associates out there, to get the project going, get the project done. So that's cool. They wanted me out there, but the reality is, and just, I don't really care what people think, ultimately. This is the last week of the regular season of girls softball. And I got a win on Thursday to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I knew that going in. And I'm like, you know what? I am not traveling to China to do a gig when I can be there coaching my daughter. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I refuse. I love it so much. And it is such a tiny window in the grand scheme of life. And look, I'm not judging anybody if you're going out there, but like, I don't know. I get crazy about it, and I will not. I love it so much. I love working with those girls.
Yeah.
And this is it. And I'm not gonna. I was like, no, I'm not going out.
Do you tell them that? Do you tell the Chinese delegation that?
No, I think that would not be the best thing to say. Like, listen, Chinese delegation, which is such a very strange and informal way of saying that. We just tell them that we're providing them a great thing. And yeah, because ultimately, even on this gig, I would have only been there kind of overseeing and stuff like that. I mean, it's being executed in Mandarin. So,
do you speak any Mandarin?
No. I don't. I can say hello, ni hao, and then thank you, shisha. And that's it. And that and a guide can get to China.
I had a girl in high school, and I don't remember if it was Mandarin or Cantonese, the two dialects, but it was something like, Wo de pigu hing gao shang?
That was her name?
No, that's what she taught me.
Oh.
And it means my ass is happy. So I would just come into class.
Say that again?
It was like, Wo de pigu hing gao shang?
Yeah, one more time. I'm going to close up on you.
I could be saying this. I could be saying the most offensive.
Well, that's why I want you to say it, because I'm like, I'm sure that's not what it is.
Like,
I can't wait till people get out of this. I'm like, you just said the most horrible thing.
I was like, but I was trying to connect and make her laugh.
It was amazing. It was an amazing experience to work out there. And then when I had the opportunity to lead some workshops in Beijing, it was crazy. Did I talk about that? Did I talk about having to give notes on scenes? Did I talk?
Mm-hmm.
So we did a workshop. I did it. I did the corporate stuff that we did, and with Harvard and stuff like that. But then I went to Beijing, and we did some stuff just specific to comedy and the comedy and the improv world there at the American Chinese Comedy Center. That's the name of it. And it's like this, I mean, I would say about the size of this studio on like a deep in the old section of Beijing, down these weird alleys. It was really funky. Like it's like
it's like the north end of Beijing.
Well, yes, if you were trying to also not be discovered by the government, you know. I mean, like that's kind of like, huh? Because they can be shut down at any time. Because even there's still such strict controls, you know, on the artists there. Mm-hmm. That's why improv in particular is such a very tricky thing that they can't get their mind around, because you've got to submit scripts and screenplays and stuff like that for pre-approval, and obviously by definition improv you can't. So but anyways, so I led two different workshops, and I would give notes just like I would give notes in a regular scene, but a good majority of the scenes were happening in Chinese, right? And it was a fantastic experience for me, because so I'm giving my notes, I'm watching the scene just like I always do, but they're typically two person scenes. And so, you know, I had Jay Wang on one side, and he would pick one actor, and then I had Jesse on the other side picking another actor. And so I'm watching a scene, and they're having simultaneous dialogue going on into each ear as the scene goes. So it was a fantastic like workout mentally for me to be in like freeze, stop, boom, give that, but also processing everything going on. It was amazing. It was a really, really fantastic process. But you know, I gave the same notes, and you could understand what was happening. It was crazy.
Was there anything that like didn't translate like comedically, or like over there is like, oh, they find this super funny and it wouldn't land, or vice versa?
Not really. If anything, I guess there was one guy who spoke pretty much no English. Mm-hmm. And even when I saw him doing things when it wasn't being interpreted, what I was amazed by was my eye kept going to that guy, and it was like, oh, that guy's funny.
Yeah.
Like, and he wasn't like a big crazy. He was actually very small in terms of what he's doing, but I kept going like, that guy's funny. Yeah. Whatever he's doing, he's very funny. And I could tell. And then I talked to like Jesse and Jay afterwards. He's like, oh yeah, that guy is really good. I'm like, oh yeah, you can see it, yeah. Even though I don't necessarily understand what's going on. So I thought that was, those kind of things were very interesting. So that's going on this week. So that's kind of you know, the ongoing. I just dropped my Apple on my Apple.
Oh.
Serendipity. So that's going on. That's probably the biggest thing that is going on this week. Love, big game on Thursday. Got to get in the playoffs. I love sports. I love athletics. And that was fun today. Joey and I were just out playing hoops, playing some one-on-one.
So, 80-degree weather.
80-degree, more like 90 and 100% humidity.
That's why we're so sweaty and stinky.
So that was great. And you know, but I'm, for me, I've always been just how I create and where it comes from me is the physical has always driven me. Like, so I love anything physical, outdoors, sports, athletics. Like it really makes a huge difference in the clarity of my mind and how I create, or even how I think about the strategy of the companies or anything else that I'm doing. It's huge. I also think that, you know, we've talked about it before, but you got to go find other experiences that are not directly linear related to the art thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if your thing is working on cars, go work on cars for a little while. It really, I think it's hugely important, so that it's just not the same thing, because you lose perspective.
I used to beat myself up when I found out all the people, you know, who came, I think we talked about this last time, came out of Seriously Bent, came out of college improv, and I was like, man, these people are so ahead, they have such a head start. And then it really dawned on me recently, I was like, oh, sort of, they had a head start improvisationally, but I have a whole weird military life. And also all these like class, like chemistry, poli sci that I can pull from in scenes.
They don't have a head start. They have a head start possibly in the specific subject material that is improv.
Yeah.
But anybody can learn that. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. They'll never know what it's like to get accepted into the Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
They'll never know what it's like to be deployed to the Middle East.
Yeah.
They'll never know what, you know what I mean?
We should say deployed.
Well, you deployed to the Middle East.
Yeah, but I also got to go. I was in UAE, so I got to go to Abu Dhabi. I got to go to Dubai. I got to see Iron Man 3 in the theaters. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, Iran was right over there, but there was a thing about seeing.
You were there. Yeah. You know, and they're never going to have that, right? True. And so that's why it becomes very important in my mind. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're writing or whatever. Like, you know, you got to have those experiences. So I have that, but it was just nice. And I haven't played basketball in quite some time in terms of like one-on-one. And it was fun. And I forget how just out of shape, sports-specific I am. So yeah. That was fun. I enjoyed that. And then the intellectual curiosity part of things, you know, I'm always looking for that next thing, adventure, whatever. And I'm talking with, I think I mentioned him last time, Patrick Sweeney, but we're talking about putting together an adventure in October, I believe. And we're zeroing in on, there's a ring road that circles Iceland.
Ring road? What's that?
It's a road in a ring that goes around Iceland.
Okay.
Wait a second.
It's exactly what it sounds
like.
So
there's Iceland.
Yeah.
And there's a road all the way around it? Like on the coast?
Yeah. A ring road.
You know, Joey. Ring road.
You're saying that like, you know, like a highway. It's like, I've never heard the term a ring road.
And I mean, it goes in a ring around the thing that it's around. It's a ring road.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a ring road. It's very, it's exactly what it sounds like. So we're talking about maybe doing that as a motorcycle kind of a adventure tour. Oh, I guess it's pretty wild. And okay, so
how long would it take?
Well, you know, it wouldn't really take all that long in the sense that Iceland is not that big. But in some of the research that I've done, they recommend that like you take like you know 5 or 6 days because it is wild and you want to go off mm-hmm. and up into the glaciers and see all the crazy stuff that you do. So I think I would probably do like a 4-ish day. I try to map it out. You know, that's usually about the most I can carve out in my life.
We just interviewed somebody who said they went skiing on the glaciers in like over there, and then they left from Iceland to go to like glaciers, maybe in Greenland.
Could be, but there's definitely glaciers in Iceland.
I've never heard of people skiing. I've heard of people like going and seeing them, or maybe going on them or kayaking, but I never heard of people actually like skiing on them.
Yeah, I have no idea. We went to Iceland. So I've been to Iceland one time. We were there, and we flew over there, Reykjavik, and we got there. It was November, I believe. We went.
Wow.
Really good choice of time. So we landed, and you got there probably around like 8 a.m. And by the time you got there, it was pitch black because there's only about 4 hours of sunlight that time. And so by the time you get to the hotel or whatever, and you're exhausted, so you eat some breakfast, and you take a nap, and you wake up, and it was probably like 4 p.m. It was dark again, so you miss that entire light. So you go out, you have fun, you sleep, missed it again the next day. I was in perpetual darkness for I'd say at least 36, 40 hours, something like that in terms of all that. And then the one day that I finally woke up and it was sunny out, like I looked out the back window and you looked out and look at that volcano! And like
wow.
A giant volcano like that I had never seen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been as like, huh. I'm like, there's been a volcano there the whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's pretty cool. So for me, intellectual curiosity just becomes I love, I don't know. It's very important to me to pursue these kind of things if I can, and I get it. I'm fortunate that I can carve these things out to do it. But it really does inform kind of how I create and how I do things. So that's kind of where I'm at with stuff. So I figured, today, no guests today. I thought we would just talk. We were playing basketball and then we were just, shooting the shit afterwards and talking about it. And we were talking a lot about, I think, the ongoing challenge as somebody that's trying to create, and that's a broad term. It can be create comedy, create music, create a business. It doesn't matter. But the sense of how do you know when you're doing enough?
Yeah.
Well, number one, you're probably never doing enough. I know that I'm not mm-hmm. at all. I know that I'm not. I can do more, and that's not me being like, "Whoa, I could do more." No, I just think that's the reality. I could. For whatever reasons, I don't. I do a lot, mm-hmm. But how do you manage that? I think that one of the things, especially artists, never, it takes so long to develop the skill of managing what they do in an efficient and focused activity and appropriate volume. Because it's got to be focused, and there needs to be an appropriate volume that happens.
Yeah.
And people don't do that. And so, you know, I kind of gave the example of, I was talking about just, you know, from a sales perspective, right? I feel like, you know, my companies, we need to do a better job of what we call outgoing sales. We're super busy with incoming sales. For many reasons, I don't think we have the appropriate initiative on the outgoing. Mostly not due to anybody's lack of effort, but I think with bandwidth and correct managing processes and stuff like that. And so, you know, I thought to myself, well, look, from a sales perspective, if our salespeople, myself included, made 10 outgoing inquiries a day, and inquiries can be, I mean that in a very loose sense. Sure, it can be a cold call or email or something like that, but it also can be a request to connect on LinkedIn or something like that. Can you do 10? If you do 10 a day, then 5 days, that's 50, right? If you have 5 salespeople doing that, that's 250 inquiries that went out that week. Times that by 4, you've got 1,000 that went out that month. So if you look at it like that, if there's a 5% return on connection on that, right? That's 50 new connections that you just made, right? Because 5% of 1,000 is 50. So am I doing the math right?
5%.
Probably my wife.
5% of 1,000. Well, 10% of 1,000
is 100. So 5% would have to be 50.
And we did it.
Yay.
That's why my businesses are so successful. Yeah. So it's 50, right? Yeah. So 5% return on that's 50.
Yep.
Okay, great. So let's say 5% of that. We'll say 10%. We'll say 10%. Yeah. Okay. Everyone's like, oh no. No, 5% of 50 would be what? 10% of 50 is 5, right? So let's say there's a 10% return on booking gigs on that. That gives you 5. If your average, let's just say your average, keeping everything nice and easy, if your average sale on something like that is $5,000, that's $25,000 you just created in that month. If you then times that by 10, I understand there are 12 months in a year, but let's face it, we work in comedy, we're artists, we can't be expected to work all 12 months, so let's give ourselves a break here.
Yeah, hey,
we have a life to live.
I
coach up all the summer. I can't be expected to do other things.
Yeah.
So that's 10, right? That's $250,000 you just generated, right? That's the kind of effort scale that I think we all need to be thinking about, right? So what does that mean if you're not a salesperson, right? What if that means if you're a writer? Well, did you send out today 5 inquiries to 5 boutique marketing firms saying, hey, I work for Improv Asylum, or I work at Second City, or I do this, or I do that. I'm an awesome writer, you know. And did you do? If you did 5 a day over the course of the week, well, that's 25 that you went out. I guarantee you, some percentage of that will come back as, what do you write?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, you know, if it's only 3, that's still 3 more that week than you ever had. And then if it's 3 times 50. Over the course of a year, you know, 52 weeks, so 50, I mean, that's 150 things that you got back because you put it out. But we don't think like that. And artists, I think, struggle with thinking like that. And somehow they feel like it's not part of the job, or they don't know how to do it, or they're embarrassed, or they think it's declassé, or it isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't. You've got to get your shit out there. You got to tell people about this if your goal is to be paid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's... You know, you want to put stuff out there so you can be found, but you also got to shake some of that tree a little bit.
Yeah. The business of the show business.
Yeah. You know, and that's it. And that's not a lot. You know, could you send out to 3 agencies today? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And you could still do the rest of your nothing all day long as you wait for your rehearsal, right?
Yeah.
But it's volume. It's with a plan and then repetitive volume that will aggregate this stuff up. If you can't aggregate it up, if you're doing 1 or 2 a month, then you're playing like a really shitty lottery.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a, you know, to me, that's a lot of what people don't do. And I think that it's, you can control that. It's your own effort. And you do that. And people are like, well, where do I start? Cut the shit, everybody. Use your brain. Start with your brain. And then say, huh, who would want, you know, I'll use writing for example. Who would want comedy writing in Boston? You literally could start there. You go onto the Google and you go, who wants comedy writing in Boston? You can literally put your thoughts there.
Yeah.
And results will come back.
The Google
does it all, right? And you start there. And that's all I do. I mean, if I, for my own sales initiative. So I tested it, right? So whenever I have theories, as much as I can, if I have a theory, I like to test it. I like to feel it. You know, before I ask somebody to do it, I like to do a version of it myself so I can feel it and I can know what the hell I'm talking about. So last week I did that. I didn't get 5 days. I got about four. I got right around 40 outgoing contacts, be it emails, inquiries, LinkedIn, stuff like that. So I did that. I got 6 contacts back. So that's a little bit more than, you know, than 10% return, right? Well, does that mean it's all going to turn to business? I don't know. But that's 6 things that came back. Out of a random week, I didn't hit the lottery of the 1 week everybody is responding. It's not an anomaly of a week. Yeah. That very small sample would tell you that if you do that again and again every single week, you're probably going to have versions of that. Maybe a couple of weeks it'll be lower. Maybe some weeks it'll be significantly higher. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, and then you now have those connections that are out there. So, you know, I did that because I want to test for myself, to which I will then be sitting down with my sales staff and saying, well, let's develop a plan. But that's, you know, that's what people need to be doing.
Yeah.
But it's that work. You know, it's not inspiration. It's not being struck by lightning. It's not even talent to a degree. It's putting in that kind of effort again and again and again. And I like to do it. Like, look, I'm not prolific in the sense that, you know, there are some people that are great and disciplined and, you know, they carve out their 9 till noon every day to write and stuff like that. That's not me. I'll never be able to do that. I like to try to do it in manageable clumps. Call it 5. Call it 10 a day. What can I do? Great. You can do 100 a day. Good for you. What I can do is 5 to 10. Mm-hmm. So I'll do 5 to 10 to start because aggregated, that's a huge number. The aggregation of the effort, it's not the singularity of the effort.
Yeah.
You know? So that's you know, that's a lot of what I talk about is focusing and finding those things. And then lo and behold, you get connections and you know the shit goes somewhere. You know? When it comes to these things, you have to think in terms of lead time, right? And so it's not about, oh great, these people come back to me this week and I'm gonna have meetings and conversations next week or whatever. If you're in it for the long haul, that's why you need to aggregate all of this, because I guarantee you, and I know I'm not saying this as a theory, I'm saying this because of 20 years of life experience in doing this stuff. If you do this enough, one of the things that you sent out that you never heard from, I fully know that in 6 months' time, I'm going to get an email and someone's going to say, hey, you sent me an email 6 months ago, but that person just went into their meeting at the beginning of Q1 to start thinking about their training budget on what they're supposed to do, and they've been told by their boss saying, hey, you gotta put together a training thing, figure something out, and you're going to go, I got an email from this guy who let me look at that, and then they call and say, what do you do? I mean that's how does he do it. So another real life example, just this morning today we had a conference call with the YPO, Young Presidents Organization. It's an organization where I think, you know, it's all young. The theory is you have to be a president or a CEO or something of your company and join this organization by 45.
Okay.
Like, so I can't join anymore, which I think is completely discriminatory. But before I get there, and so I had a conversation about doing something, working with them here in Boston, that may have something to do with maybe something in South Africa. And so we started talking about that, and the lead organizer there was like, hey, just so you know, I've been to your place. I love it. On my 50th birthday, about like 3 or 4 years ago, you guys destroyed me. My kids put my name in, and I was brought up on stage, and you like took my day and my life, and then you killed me on stage and did my whole life or whatever. He's like, so I was thinking about you when we were talking about training and stuff. I'm like, well, I think they do that. That's a 3-year lead time on a sales cycle.
Yeah.
Because somebody experienced a connection with the company. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in it for the long haul, you can create those moments.
Yeah.
If you're in it for the absolute immediate return and then you're going to quit, you're never going to get those experiences. And so now, you know, we had a great conversation. And because I don't, I think I've said this to you guys before, I'm one of those strange kind of people that, like, I don't believe in coincidences. And that's not mystical. It's not like, the universe bring maybe, but it's just more the coincidences. I don't believe in them because things are happening for other reasons that you put in motion, right?
Yeah.
So it's more like almost scientific. But so we're having this conversation. Well, it just keeps coming back to this guy Patrick Sweeney, who I think might be able to have. I think he might be coming by as our guest next week.
Cool.
So I work with Patrick in terms of helping him work on his presentations and stuff like that. And he was giving. He is a member of the YPO. And so he was giving a presentation last week at a YPO organization at Harvard Law, that was for like a bunch of like teenagers or high school students and their parents that were coming through, very, very high, really high charging, high performing kids, like everything I wasn't, you know, one of those deals. Yeah. And so I went and I said, well, look, I'm around. Let me watch. It's one thing for me to work with you, but it would be more compelling if I can see you in front of an audience. Do that. So I went down and we did that. And I watched and I said hello to this one guy quickly, but they didn't know who I was. I was there for Patrick and whatever. So we did that. It was very good. He did a great job. He definitely put into play some of my notes. He was shocked that some of the notes that I gave him, he's like, why? No, that will work. I'm like, it'll work if you do that.
Yeah.
Just do it. And the note that I gave him, so I'm going off tangent, I'm going on target, but you know, it's just I'm going following where the thing goes. So he did his presentation.
Yep.
30-minute presentation. And what I said, all right, we're gonna use an improv technique here. Okay? I'm like, I want you to give me that presentation in 15 minutes. We're gonna half-life this thing.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, do it in 15 minutes. He's like, talk faster? I'm like, you're gonna probably have to, right? If you're gonna do it, so we did it. He probably got about 3/4 of the way through the thing in 50 minutes. He didn't even get through the whole thing. And so I asked him, and he's like, you know, breathing, and he's big guy, athletic, former, you know, Olympic athlete or whatever. And I'm like, well, how did it feel? He's like, God, I just felt super rushed, and I felt like I was leaving and cutting things out. He's like, how did it look? You know, he was expecting me to say awful. I'm like, way better. He's like, you're kidding me. I'm like, it was way better. It was way more dynamic. The energy, the passion. Yeah. And I'm like, and I told him, he's like, well, you know, I'm like, did you notice you cut certain things out there? He's like, well, I had to cut. I'm like, I'd leave them cut out. Mm. You're cutting the fat out of it, and you're getting to the meat of what you have to do. And some of the things that he was cutting out was like very, it was heavy exposition. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, because instinctually and intuitively, you cut out what you knew needed to cut out to get your message in. I'm like, it was the most dynamic I've seen you perform.
Yeah.
I'm like, now the goal as you go do this live isn't to do it in 15 minutes. What it is to do it with much more energy and passion. And he executed the notes, and so it was really kind of fun to see that. Anyways, so I'm on a call this morning, and you know, I kind of knew where I was going with this, so yeah. I was going to end with it. I'm like, hey, I have a question for you guys. Were you involved with the YPO thing that you know happened over at Harvard? And the main order is like. Yeah, I was in charge of that. I'm like, I think we might have met. I'm like, do you work with Patrick Sweeney? He's like, yeah, Patrick's a friend of mine, and he was there. I'm like, yeah, I was there. I was in the back of the room. He's like, yeah, I was there in the back of the room. He's like, I'm the guy that went down and then was breaking up. Oh, yeah, I remember you. I'm like, I think we shook hands right at the very beginning. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, and it's that set, and you can feel the room and the connection, which, again, goes to go. go put yourself out. And the whole thing where with the connection with Patrick and I was, well, he reached out. Mm-hmm. And he had to have a hell of a lot of courage and humility, yeah, because that guy is super successful, to say, hey, would you do improv? Would you ever teach, you know, work with me as a presenter? That's a lot to say. I could get better at this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I put myself out there and said, well, hey, I don't, you know, don't pay me. You're doing all kinds of adventure stuff. I'll work with you. You show me all the adventure stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
And so that led to that. And that led to him coming back into town because he lives in France through most of the year. And then his family just lives here this summer. I mean, this guy's got a great life. And so he's like, hey, I'm in town. He's like, would you have any time to work with me again? And I'll be honest with you, I have the exact same instincts as everybody else. I'm fairly busy, as you guys know, with all the things that go on, plus the personal life and stuff like that. And my instinct was, okay, well, am I really going to find time to get up over to that? And then I'm like, no. I'm like, you got to put yourself out there to a degree. You got to say no to things when you get super busy. But on the other hand, you also got to be able to think, what are the things that are going to mean something to somebody? What are the things that are going to, in a very real way, possibly be advantageous to you down the line? So I was like, no, stop being a pussy. Go. You can meet at 8 o'clock on Monday night.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything. Go. Did it. And then, you know, it's that whole yes and philosophy and that whole, you know, the whole moving ideas forward. And I asked, well, when's your presentation? Well, it's Wednesday at Harvard Law School. I'm like, I'm going to come and see you live. Like, you put yourself out there to, and then lo and behold, the YPO, it happens like that again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. It's not surprising or shocking to me at all. I fully expect it. It's because you put yourself out there.
When are you going to start the OBO?
Old President's Organization? The OPO?
The OPO, yeah.
That's actually a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
If they bring you up, you should be like, well, I got my own.
I'm going to steal that from you, Joe.
Do it.
Because it's a great bit. And when I do, I'm going to pull out, like, I just want to let you know, I am a member, I am the inaugural member of OPO, the yeah. Old President's Organization.
And they all age into it.
Yeah,
you've got everybody you need, yeah.
Right, you're it. That's the next level. Yeah. That's fantastic. And they pay a lot of money to be in these things.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. OPO. So, yeah. So, you know, I guess that's kind of where I'm at, is this idea of aggregating your effort through volume and consistency, and then putting yourself out there and allowing the connections to happen, because they won't happen if you don't put yourself out there.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. So, you know, we're having that conversation, and we'll go from there, and then I'll go to Iceland, and I'll be on a ring road that apparently nobody seems to understand what a ring road is.
Hey, I get it now.
Yeah, I understand. I guess when I think of ring road, I just think of that road that leads to Mount Doom in Lord of the Rings. Like, this is the road to Mordor. This is where you gotta drop the ring.
Oh, I would imagine too. Iceland kind of has a Mordor feel to
it. Yeah, true.
You know,
there's a volcano.
There's a volcano there. So, yes. So, look, that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Aggregate your efforts. Aggregate your shit. You know you're not doing enough. Don't beat yourself up about it. Do something about it.
Yeah.
And you don't need to know where to start anymore. Any question that you have in your brain of how would I X can be answered on the internet to get you started. What companies use the service that I do? You type it in, and then you get the top 50 companies in the world that use that service, and you start there. You don't need to buy lists.
Yeah.
You don't need to spend a goddamn dollar.
Yeah.
What you do need to do is just start and stay with it and aggregate it, and you'll have something. All right. Well, as always, make a comment like this. Make a comment, all that good stuff. Get 2 tickets to show at Improv Asylum or Laugh Boston, anywhere like that. Happy to have you do that. So I think we'll see you next week. We may have a guest, and we'll go from there. Otherwise, no Lavalette, Joey Lopez, Ari Gold, and
Goldberg.
Why do I always say Gold?
Ari Gold is the character on Entourage.
That's why it's so weird because we've had this conversation,
don't I?
Yeah, it's fine.
But Ari Gold, that could be your stage.
Yeah, Ari Gold is a pretty sure character.
Yeah, he's like, that'd be like, your stage name is Mickey Mouse now.
But that's Jeremy Piven's character, right? Ari Gold?
I think so, yeah.
I don't watch it.
And Jeremy Piven was just recently alive.
Oh.
That's why, Ari, I'm totally screwing up. Ari Goldberg. Ari Goldberg. Joy Lopez on Normal of It. That has been Beyond the Norm.